going to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll be reading from verses 7. And our text is taken from verse 8. Let's begin with verse 7. Let us hear the word of God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have no profit, those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time as we can come to your word. And Lord, we pray and ask for your spirit to be with us and guide us as we look at your word this morning. And I pray, Father, that it would bring blessing and encouragement and strength unto your flock this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of us have been brought through abrupt changes in our lives just in the last year? How many of us are going through changes now? Every change of life, whether in health, family status, financial status, impacts us in a way that changes who we are to some degree, especially those changes that grieve us. Not only do the conditions of our life change, but we change with it. We're not the same person we were before any life-changing event occurs. But isn't it good and well that there is one person who is the same? It is well that there is one immovable rock that we may tie our pirogue to when the changing winds of life begin to howl. Horatio Spafford wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." In 1929, on October the 29th, many began the day in affluence. Went to the coffee shops, read the papers, checked the financial news, looked at the stock reports. But by the end of the day, because of the panic selling, they were reduced to poverty in one day. That day came to be known as Black Tuesday. Since that day, there have been many fluctuations and losses in the stock market, the housing market of 2008, for example. And there will be many more if the Lord wills. How many of us have buried those who you love the best? Just a couple of weeks ago, a neighbor of ours with a 4-year-old autistic child lost track of her young boy as she was bathing the baby. Another neighbor who joined in the search found him at the bottom of the swimming pool, three houses down from where he lived. That family has changed now to have one less child. And the family who owned the pool in which the child drowned has changed and will undergo greater change as they are facing a severe lawsuit. They had no fence around the pool. Not that that would have prevented a lawsuit. Now two families are still weeping over their recent afflictions. Changes may have taken place in your estate that have made your heart full of misery. Your golden IRA may have had the cancer worm of taxes and inflation eating up the precious grain. Your much fine goal has become dim and your glory has departed. How much change can 1 year bring? Or in the case of October 29th, one day, 1929. But greater things have changed than we and are changing because kingdoms and nations are right now trembling in the balances. Nuclear warships from Russia, China, and the U.S. are gathering near the Middle East, which has always been a powder keg, but more so in recent days. We hear the nuclear sabers rattling so often now, it barely has an effect upon us. I remember back when I was a child in the 60s, people trembled when they heard that the Russians had put nuclear warheads right on Cuba. People don't seem to be that frightened anymore. What about the seasons? The whole world has changed. Earth is putting off its greenery of spring and summer. It always amazes me how the whole world can change in a season, giving us the signs of approaching wintry appearance. All things have changed, not only in appearance, but in reality. The world is growing old and warmer, if you believe the climate change scientists. But doesn't the Apostle Peter tell us something that they failed to mention about the earth getting warmer? Very much warmer, in fact. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." The folding up of the worn-out vesture has commenced. The changing of the heavens and the earth has certainly begun, and they shall perish. But forever blessed is he who is the same, of whose years there is no end. My brother invited me to an offshore fishing trip a number of years back, and as we were traveling some 30 miles out to the Gulf, everything was fine. But within 15 minutes before I could even prepare my fishing line, I became so seasick for the whole time that we were out there. I made things miserable for everyone else. I can't describe the satisfaction that I felt after having been tossed and about and nauseated for what felt like an eternity. And when I put my foot upon the solid shore and the nausea began to leave me. This is the satisfaction any Christian has when, during all the changes of this troublesome life, he plants the foot of his faith on a text just like we read. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The same stability that an anchor gives a ship when it has the grip of an immovable rock. That same stability does this hope give to our spirits when, like an anchor, it fixes itself to a truth so glorious as this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, with the help of God's blessed Spirit, I will attempt to accomplish three objectives which I hope will encourage your hearts this morning. First, we shall begin with just a brief exposition of this one text, and then we shall address some objections which wicked unbelief will surely raise against it, and then we will extract a few practical comforting lessons from the great truth of our unchangeable Jesus. First, let's begin with a brief exposition of the text. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the same in his person as he has always been from the beginning. The only constant that may be said of us is that we change constantly. The energy of our youth gives place to the strength of manhood, and the maturity of manhood fades away into the weakness of old age. But the psalmist says of Jesus, "You have the dew of your youth." Jesus Christ is the same, and he is as young as he has ever been. We come into this world with the ignorance of infancy. We grow up searching, studying, and learning with the diligence of youth. And we attain to some knowledge as our years ripen. And then in our old age, we totter back to forgetting our glasses on the top of our head. But with our Lord Jesus, he perfectly foreknew and knows all mortal and all mortal things from before the foundation of the world. He shall be the same in his omniscience. One day we are strong, the next day we are weak. One day determined, the next day vacillating. One hour constant, the next hour unstable as water. One moment we are holy, kept by the power of God. The next moment sinning, led astray by our lusts. But Jesus is forever the same, holy, pure, never spotted. Firm, never changing, everlastingly omnipotent, unchangeably omniscient. No attribute ever escapes him. And what can be said of the Father can be said of the Son, because he is of one substance with the Father, is he not? And as the hymn writer said, as we just sang, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." Solomon sang concerning his best beloved, "His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars." And as the hymn writer Charles Fry said of him, "He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000s to my soul." John's description of him in Revelation 2,000 years ago was, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." This Jesus is the same. His brow is not furrowed like the poor old farmer that has spent his years in the sun. His locks are gray with the wisdom of the Ancient of Days, but not with the appearance of age. His feet stand as firm as when they were trampling out the mountains in creation. His eyes are as keen and piercing as when for the first time he looked upon his new creation. Christ's person never changes. And it's important for us to remember that his eternal person is the second person of the Trinity. The only begotten Son of God is very God of very God. We may be called upon to hold fast and bear witness to this truth. As we see Muhammad's army invading America and our government in fear to do nothing about it. In his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, 15 through 22, which some scholars see as Paul's hymn of Christ as the Creator and Christ as the divine God, Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." We know that this is Christ he is speaking of because he introduces him as the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When he returns to earth to visit us again, and he surely will, we will find him to be the same Jesus that was the Creator. Now there are those who say, well, Jesus was a prophet. He was a good man. But they only tell you that to patronize you. When behind closed doors, they hate him. But to us, Jesus is lovable, approachable, generous, kind. And though arrayed in glorious garments, different from those he wore when he first visited the earth, no more the man of sorrows, no more acquainted with grief. And though he would be the same person, yet unchanged by all his glories, his triumphs and his joys, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he is the same yesterday, this Jesus is the same to his people as ever. When we think upon him and his Father setting their love upon us, as Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We have delighted in our happier moments to think of Jesus and the Father loving us, even before we had no being. We love him only because he first loved us. Have you ever thought of this when you sang, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God? He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. We have looked back, too, upon the years of our troubles and trials, and we can bear solemn witness that he has been true and the same to us in all of our emergencies, and he has never failed us once. Now, given these things, can we now draw comfort knowing that if he loved us before we were born, and he has loved us throughout our lives, will not this Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, continue to love us? Since God is love, as John tells us, his love towards us will not change, since he does not change. And although Christ may sometimes take a rod in his hand to us, because he is our shepherd that loves us, his rod and his staff actually become a comfort to us, as David said in Psalm 23. Can you conceive how much this unchangeable Jesus will love you when you are in heaven? Have you ever thought of the love which Christ will manifest to you when, as Jude says, he shall present you without spot or blemish or any such thing before his Father's throne? Because he will be the same forever as he is today, and he is the same today as he will be forever, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, even so, what? Have I loved you? Any higher degree of love we cannot imagine. The Father loves his Son infinitely. And even so today, believer, you can know that the Son of God loves you. Again, we can believe that when he was a Savior to us yesterday, we can know that he is a Savior to us still today. If we went to him as sinners then and he received us, can we not go to him still only now as a saved sinner? Has he changed regarding his reception of sinners? No. He that received the thief upon the cross is the same today as he was then. John Stockton wrote, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Some tell us the modern age is too advanced for the old ways of religion. New improvements of the age require improvements in theology and worship. Things are not the same, they say. Some may say the way Luther preached would not suit this age. We may be more polite in our worship now. The style of preaching, they say, that did in John Bunyan's day is not the style now. Yet they honor these men as the great preachers of the past. too outdated to be quoted from now. But they are like the Pharisees who built the sepulchres of the prophets that their fathers had killed. And so they confess that they are their father's own sons and like their parents. But listen to the prophet Jeremiah, who said by the Spirit of God, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." The old gospel is the same. Paul told Timothy, "Hold fast to the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ." Theology has nothing new in it, except that which is false. The preaching of Paul must be the preaching of the minister today. And thank God he has blessed us with Brother Jim, who has stood in the face of those errors. He's been tested. And now in faithfulness he comes and preaches to us. He is a blessing to us. There's no advancing, no advancement in these things. We may advance in our knowledge of it, but it stands the same for this good reason. That which is perfect can't be improved, can it? The old truth that the Puritans who wrote the Westminster Confession, Samuel Rutherford, John Owens, George Gillespie, those that they preached were those that Calvin preached, that Luther preached, that Paul preached, is the same truth that we must preach and teach today, or else we be liars to our conscience and God. We cannot shape the truth. The old truth is the only truth that will stand the test of time and never needs to be altered to suit the wicked or ungodly generation. And if we do, we shall find Ichabod written upon the church walls before long. Christ Jesus preaches today the same as when he preached upon the mountain. He has not changed his doctrines, though men may ridicule and laugh and search for new forms of worship. But still they stand the same, just as he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are not his doctrines from him? And if he does not change, will his doctrines change? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And because he is the same and unchangeable, the doctrines and the truth of Holy Scripture cannot be removed or altered. And as Christ Jesus is the same, so is his gospel. And as we have covered our first points with the exposition of the text, we haven't even begun to cover its fullness of implications. I've only briefly opened the text, but not to its fullest meanings. We have peered into the depth without seeing the bottom of the immutability of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we come to the next point of our message this morning, that is, addressing the objections of unbelief. The first objection of unbelief is, how can it be true that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yesterday, when I first believed, there was great confidence and feelings of happiness, but today I'm in so much distress. Everything was sunshine and roses, but now it's not. But remember, it's not Christ that has changed. Therefore, where was the change? The change was with us. You just said, yesterday I was happy, today I'm sad. I'm not denying or attempting to get you to deny that you may be unhappy, as a psychiatrist may try to get you to do to help you out of your depression. Oh, you've got to deny this. The point is that there can be no change in Christ. Not only that, but that he has authored the change in you to be more like him. There's an old hymn by John Kent entitled Affliction, and in the fourth line of that hymn it tells us, "If today he deigns to bless us with a sense of pardoned sin, he tomorrow may distress us to make us feel the plague within, all to make us sick of self and fond of him." Our soul goes through many changes and shall go through many changes, but his love knows no variation. and his objective to bring us to glory does not change. AOC said regarding climate change that it would be good for scientists to study the sun at night when it's cooler. This is what we've got in Congress, folks. She does not know that the day may change from light to dark, but the sun does not change in the process. His love does not vary. Our frames are no proof that Christ changes. They only prove that we change. Then unbelief answers again. Look at the old saints of the old ancient times. Look how they were favored by God. There are no ravens to bring us meat and bread in the morning and evening like Elijah. Look at how it was said of the children of Israel, how their clothes wax not old, but our clothes only last a few months. And when they marched through the desert, he suffered no man to hurt them. But look at now, we are being invaded by those who hate us. We see our friends and our loved ones die, and there's no prophet to lay upon them, no fiery chariots to carry God's Elijahs to heaven. Not only that, but we have read preachers of old who talked of great men like Toplady, Whitfield, or Spurgeon. Where are such men now? These men who were giants of the faith have died out, and we're left with midgets. We need to be reminded that the ancient people of God had their trials too. Didn't the Apostle Paul himself say, "For thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter." So if there's not been any change, it is a change for the better, because we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against death. But even that still does not affect Christ, for neither nakedness nor famine nor sword have separated us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's true that you have no fiery chariot now, but soon enough the angels will carry us to Jesus, and that is all well, is it not? It's true no ravens bring us our food, but it's also true we get our food from Walmart or Winn-Dixie, is it not? It's true that our loved ones have not been raised from the dead, but David had a child that was not raised any more than ours. And we may think that we have had more brokenheartedness than the old saints had. But didn't they also cry to the Lord and say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Even the prophets had to say, "Thou hast made me drunken with wormwood and broken my teeth with gravel stones." We are truly mistaken if our days are more troublesome than those of Job, or that we are more vexed by the wicked than Lot was of old, or that we've had more temptations to make us more angry than Moses. And the greatest of all, our way was certainly not nearly as rough as the way of our Lord Jesus. In fact, the fact that we have troubles is proof of his faithfulness, because if we have his promises of blessing, did he not also promise, "In the world ye shall have tribulation"? Isn't that a promise? Okay, you've got the tribulation that he promised. But thankfully, he said in the next half of the verse, "But in me you shall have peace, and moreover, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then there may be those who say that you live in a poor time regarding ministers. But didn't he promise us, "Though I take away from thee bread and water, yet will I never take away thy pastors"? He will take away bread and water from us before he takes away from us them that are faithful to God and to his covenant. Men who do not forsake the truth, and though the days may be dark, yet it's not as dark as the days that have been. This indeed is a comfort to us as we return to the dark ages approaching. Brethren, this place, as few as we have here, because of the dark ages coming, will be a candle set upon a hill, where men may be able to come and gather light at your feet. Remember this as well, brethren. Men in the days of Toplady look back to the days of Whitfield. Men in the days of Whitfield look back to the days of Bunyan. Men in the days of Bunyan wept because of the days of Wycliffe and Calvin and Luther. And men then wept for the days of Augustine and Chrysostom. And men in those days wept for the days of the apostles. And doubtless men in the days of the apostles wept for the days of Jesus Christ. And no doubt some in the days of Jesus Christ were so blind enough to wish to return to the days of prophecy and thought more of the days of Elijah than they did of the most glorious day of Jesus himself. It is true that some men look more to the past than to the present. But in any case, rest assured that Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same forever. The old Puritans tell a story of a little girl who, when her father died, she saw her mother weeping unconsolably. Day after day, the little girl stepped to her mother, saw her weeping, and putting her little hand inside her mother's hand, looked into her face and said, "Mama, is God dead? Is God dead, Mama?" And her mother thought for a moment, "Surely no." And it was as if the child seemed to say, "Thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. So you may dry your tears. I have a father in heaven, and you have a husband still." So if you saints have lost your gold and your silver, you have got treasure in heaven where no moth nor rust corrupts, where no thieves break through and steal. If you're sick today and you've lost health, remember the day is coming when all that shall be made up to you, and we shall realize that the flame did not hurt you, that it only designed your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Remember, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And now we leave our second point in addressing objections from unbelief. So we close with one or two consolations from our text. First, if he is the same today as he is yesterday and will be the same in the future, let's not set our affection upon those changing things, but set our hearts upon him who doesn't change. Let's not build our house upon sandy pillars of the world that soon must pass away, but build our hopes upon this rock, which when the rains descend and the floods shall come, shall immovably stand sure. Let's lay up your treasure in this secure account in heaven. Let's right now put our treasure where we can never lose it. Put it in Christ. Put all our affections in his person, all our hope in his glory, all our trust in his efficacious blood, all our joy in his presence. And then you will have put yourself and put all where you can never lose anything because it is secure. Let's remember that the time is coming when all things must fade and when you must part with everything. So then it's not best to put our hearts with the one who will never leave us, is it not? Trust ourselves with the one who has made us sit together with him in heavenly places forever. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. That is one lesson. And then the next is, if Jesus Christ be always the same, then let us endeavor to be like him. Let us be the same too. But what would this require? It would require us to be as happy in the furnace as on the mountain of pleasure. We would be as glad in the famine as in the plenty. But doesn't this require more faith? So let us ask for it, knowing that he is faithful. If you had more confidence in your God, you would have had far less than we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Let us always remember him who endured with such contradiction of sinners against himself, then we would always be firm and steadfast in our mind. If Christ is always the same, let's rejoice. Come what may, we are secure. There's nothing that makes us more stable in our faith than to know that there is no shadow of turning with the Lord. Convulsions of men shake the world, but our faith shall never need to fear. The psalmist said, "Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Stop for a moment and imagine the worst thing that can come. And then remember that in the middle of all of that, you will be secure. Come what may, you're safe while Jesus Christ is the same. And now last of all, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, lastly, we must sadly remember that if His love does not change regarding those who trust in Him, how sad to know what that means for those who die in unbelief. Didn't He say, "He that believeth shall not be damned"? But then He also said, "He that believeth not shall be." He will damn you if you believe not, and you can depend on it. If He's never broken a promise yet, He will never break a threatening. With the same truth which makes us confident today that the righteous shall go away into everlasting life should make us quite as confident that unbelievers shall go into eternal misery. But as He has kept one, He will keep the other. Do not hope that He will change. Oh, wait a second. Jesus might have second thoughts about... No. Think not that the fire which He said was unquenchable will after all be extinguished. He has said the nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. He also said, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way, when His wrath is just kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." If you see yourself as a sinner now, come now, confess your sin to Him and leave it. Come to Him, ask Him for mercy. He will not forget His promise because He said, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray that You would bless this message this morning to our hearts, that indeed we might take great comfort in knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ loves us and that His love is unchangeable. And Father, may we love Him with that same love that does not change. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.